You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I love how we're both in fucking bathrobes.
Well, it's happy Thanksgiving, Mike.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Tane.
Yeah, it's early. You can probably tell I just woke up. And we got to squeeze in these new shit episodes every way we can. Not on Twitch this week.
100%.
But still doing it. Still records coming out. You know, not everyone's taking the holiday off from releases.
Yep.
So here we are. Yeah, that's quite a bathrobe.
Thank you.
Are those pentagrams?
It is. It's like Black it's actually Baphomet. It's Blackcraft cult, which is pretty cool. I love them.
That is rad. I got mine at Walmart, so not as cool.
Oh, nice.
Is
it comfy though? Because that's all that matters.
Oh yeah, this one's great, man. No,
nice.
I'm a big fan of their George brand.
Oh, big spender.
Oh, dude. Well, how's it been? I mean, I guess, you know, you're in Michigan. You're celebrating Thanksgiving. I'm in Canada, so we've already had ours. What's the plan today? Because, you know, obviously it's a weird time. A lot of people are either not getting together, trying to just, you know, social distance or get together in very small groups or whatever. What's your take today? What's the plan? Any plan?
Plan is I'm going to pick up my grandma, who is obviously she's like 75, 80 something, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how old she is. Never ask a woman her age, but so I'm going to pick her up and then just visiting my, dad and stepmom, who are also like social distancing and helping take care of her and everything like that.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be the four of us, nice and small. No idea what's for dinner. Honestly, just showing up and happy to see as little family as I can.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Is it's just so difficult now to navigate these kinds of situations. You know, the numbers are rising, and it's like at the same time, you know, I hear about your grandmother that's 75 or 80 years old. Like a lot of times, elderly people, like, they look forward to this day, you know,
exactly,
to see the people that are too busy to see them. I'm not saying that in your case, but in general, that's a very common thing. And it's, yeah, man, this whole thing sucks. But hey,
it really does.
We're getting through it. We're getting through it. And I know one thing that you love to get through it is new music.
Absolutely.
Should we talk about last week?
I really think we should. I mean, we kind of already talked a bit about the new Bill Murray album last week.
Yeah, we did.
Because it was already out.
We did. I got a chance to listen to it a few more times.
Same here.
I gotta say, I've always been a huge fan of shorter format records, like EPs or whatever. In historically in my life, I've just fallen in love with so many EPs. And I know them like the back of my hand, you know? I really just think it's because I have a pretty bad short attention span, and I tend to only drive distances under like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I'm in the car and I put it on, and it's like, okay, it takes you it usually takes you the length of an EP to get somewhere, not the length of a full length. Right.
Yep.
So, this album is great. I like it all the way through, and yeah, I don't know what else to say about it, except if you missed it last week, Bill Murray's Iggy Pocket. If you don't want to classify it as being in the category for album of the year, you have to say it's probably the undisputed best EP of the year.
I mean, I don't know. There have been a lot of good EPs this year, too.
Okay, that's fine. Well, let's put it in the running at least.
Yes, it's definitely in the running. That new Landon Tours EP that dropped at the beginning of the year is absolute fire, too. So
nice. Well, hey, Michigan's finest. Sure.
Exactly. And then did you get a chance to listen? I want to talk about this. Did you get a chance to listen to the new Boys of Fall album?
No, I didn't get a chance to listen to it. And mm-hmm. I know this is one that you were trying to convince me on, and I really will. I will. I think this week, you know, it's a little bit of a lighter week too. Probably not quite as much to listen to. So I haven't had a chance to check it out, but I'm excited to, because a lot of people are talking about this record.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really good. Honestly, like, I've re-listened to it a few times. It's like, how do I describe this? It's like those fun pop punk jams where like you go to a show and like Real Friends or Knuckle Puck and stuff like that, and you see them and everybody's jumping up and down. But then like you're standing on the outside like a fly on the wall and you like listen to just the lyrics mm-hmm. that they're singing and you're like, why are you people so fucking happy about this? Like, I'm listening to this album and I'm like, who hurt you? Like,
I know, right? I've always loved that kind of, I don't know, duality. I'm not sure the exact
juxtaposition.
Word. Yeah, that's a good word for it. Like the band, the Kings of that, mm-hmm. for me, we're always saves the day. Always like, it's like you kind of listen to it and it's like poppy and like kind of cute sounding. And then you're like, wait a second. Like you do like a double take on the lyrics. You're like, is he talking about like carving his own eyes out?
Yep.
Oh, yes, he is saying that, you know. So I think that's been a big influence on myself lyrically as well. And I think mm-hmm. that's just a really cool approach for bands to just paint a picture and just do something, you know, a little more out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and like a band like the Wonder Years, they do it really great too, you know. Just using such like great, you know, like they just paint a picture with their lyrics so well. So I love mm-hmm. it. I love it. I got to listen to that one.
I think you'll really like it. This might, like, I think it's going to be pretty high up on my end of the year list. Like, I'm in love with this album right now. Like,
nice.
If I'm not listening to Bring Me the Horizon or yep. Bill Murray, I'm listening to this Boys of Fall album right now.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Love it. The guy doesn't.
Beautiful.
The guy likes the big names. He also likes the small names. Everything in between, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. He doesn't worry about, you know, popularity or what other people are saying. He just likes what he likes, and that's why we love to have you on the show, Mike. Thank you.
Yep. That's why I'm here.
All right. Well, is it time? Should we get into it?
I think it is.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. I am ready for the top five, and we will start with number five.
All right, so number five, this is a band who I found out about kind of recently. Like, one of their singles just kind of crossed my path. Mm-hmm. They're from the UK, and it's a band called Palm Reader. They're putting out their new album, Sleepless.
Okay.
I don't know who these guys are or if there's any, like, connection to other bands in the scene, but they sound a lot like a kind of Calm Dillinger Escape Plan.
Calm Dillinger Escape Plan. That's a description I have not heard before.
So, like, tonally, they're very similar. The singer sounds very similar. Like, instrumentally, they're just playing like kind of a toned down version of Dillinger. Like, it's a bit slower. It's almost more like post hardcore-y than like chaotic hardcore. Like,
right. Well, that's cool.
There's two singers, I think, and one of them sounds kind of like the original vocalist from Atreyu, like the drummer dude, the clean singer.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of cool. I forget his name.
Brandon.
And like there's kind of like points almost where like instrumentally in the singles I was listening to, they sound kind of like Mastodon almost.
Hmm.
And it's like this weird kind of like just combination of a bunch of different styles that I'm really kind of been enthralled with these last couple days. Like, I've been coming back to the single Willow that I heard, and I know it's not the most recent single, but like it's a banger, and I don't know why, like, I can't put a finger on the pulse. So like, this is a band that, like, I think they're perfect for number five because I don't know enough about this band to get a good read on it.
Well,
but I'm pretty stoked for it.
The name sounded familiar. I think I just like the band name. I think it's a cool band name. Mm-hmm. And so I just popped over real quick here to their Spotify page and I'm seeing, you know, 6,800 monthly listeners. They've got one song that's up to about 200,000 plays, but it seems like they are, a little under the radar right now. So Mike, mm-hmm. here is Mike shedding some light on some new great bands that you need to know about. That's awesome. I mean, it looks like they've been poking around a little bit since 2017. Haven't put mm-hmm. out an official, 2015, they put out an album. And 2018. So, okay. So they put out a couple albums, but yeah, I guess, haven't got a lot of traction over, you know, at least on our side of the pond. And mm-hmm. I'm excited to check this one out, Mike. Great pick at number five with Palm Reader. What's the album called?
Sleepless.
Sleepless. There you go.
Nice, okay. Simple.
There you go. Sleepless in the UK. Number four, Mike.
So number four, kind of in a similar vein to a couple weeks ago, we had Intervals. We've got Pliny coming out with his new album. I know he's a solo artist. I don't know his name. I just know he goes by Pliny.
Yeah. He's like the guitar shredder dude, right? I have heard this guy. Yeah.
He's a little bit more chill though. Like, at least on the singles that he's put out for this one, he does shred. Yes. But he's kind of like taking the calm approach, almost like Chan.
Right. Well, he is sitting in a chair in his Spotify photo. So,
seems pretty
is that
chill.
A good, it's like Intervals. If you just need to sit down for a second, is that a description? Yeah,
maybe, but
nice.
Like, surprisingly, I didn't know that, he was from Australia too, which is pretty cool.
Well, of course, if you like anything, it's probably from Australia.
Exactly. That's also true. But I really think this is going to be another fun instrumental album. I know that a lot of people right now are driving around with family, picking up family members, and you're looking for something a little bit heavier that you can put on and your parents won't say, why is this man angry and screaming at me? This is exactly what I do. I put on Polyphia and Chan and Pliny and Intervals, and they're like, wow, I really, really like this. Like, it sounds angry, but it doesn't have that guy yelling at me. And I'm like, yes, mom, it's great.
That's so true and so funny. That's great. Well, cool. He's I like his photos. He's got a couple. He's got like a headless guitar, and mm-hmm. it's a real cool shape. And he isn't looking at the camera. And I bet he really, really, really rips. So this will be cool.
Those are all the cool pictures when you're not looking at the camera, right?
You can't look at the camera. Never look at the camera. Never. Never. Oh, does he have?
Never.
Oh yeah, he's got. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So this record, is it out already? Impulse Voices.
Yeah. So
oh,
I think
I'm
it, did
it right
drop
here.
Like
dropped a little early.
Yesterday.
Cool.
So
cool. Great. No, I
should be fun.
Yeah, it looks like it's eight tracks, but a couple long ones in there. So probably a full mm-hmm. length and probably something that, you know, could hold your attention the whole time. We talked a little bit about how instrumental records can get a little bit, I don't want to say tiring, but
repetitive.
Maybe that's the right word. But this one should be really cool from a talented, chill fellow whose name, I'd love to know his actual name. Maybe he doesn't want people
Same.
To know his name.
Kind of like Buckethead.
Yeah. Does anyone know what Buckethead's name is?
Yeah, it's out there.
I think it's like, funny you have like there's somebody and you're just like, I wonder what that guy's real name is. Like the other day on Spotify, I have no idea why this came on, but mm-hmm. Shaggy came on my Spotify.
It wasn't
with the classic "It Wasn't Me." Yes, that was the song. Oh no, it wasn't that one. It was the cover
really?
Of "Oh You're My Angel, You're My
Oh,
darling.
That's a great song too.
Yes, and I was like, I wonder what that guy's name is. His name is Orville.
Yeah, if you're trying to make a career in hip hop, you definitely don't want people to know your name's fucking Orville. Yeah,
you can't have the same name as the old popcorn guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you like start incorporating that into your diss, like that you could either like turn it around and use it for your disses, but like all of a sudden, if you're in a rap battle, somebody's just going to call you Redenbacher and like, it's over. You're done, dude.
Oh, I wonder how many years he tried to hide that that was his real name until, like, you know, he had to, like, I don't know, rent a car or something, and someone, you know, saw him and was like,
recognized
Shaggy?
Him.
What? Orville? Oh, I'm down. I'm downgrading you to a Corolla for sure.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
That's great.
And there it is. Pliny. I want to say Pliny. I always think of. Well, I guess it's like. Well, it's not Pliny the Elder. It's spelt differently, mm-hmm. but yeah. for people who want to check it out, it's P-L-I-N-I. But
yep.
I mean, I don't know. Pliny. I'm sure he gets both.
Oh yeah.
Let's move on. Number three.
So number three, probably, arguably, because we have talked about Katy Perry on this show, but I think this might be our biggest artist that we've ever talked about.
Okay.
Are you excited for the new supposedly rock and roll album from Miley Cyrus?
I've heard about this one, and I would say, to be quite honest, yes, I am excited.
I am too.
I think she's great. She's undeniably just an incredible singer.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I remember when, like, Wrecking Ball came out, whenever that was, probably, what, like 6 or 7 years ago, and I heard about the song and I heard about the video before I actually had heard it. You know when that happens?
Yeah.
The similar thing you mentioned, Katy Perry, that actually happened with I Kissed a Girl. I didn't hear that song for a long time. I just heard everyone talking about it. And then when I finally heard it, I was like, oh, that's it. Oh, that didn't happen with Wrecking Ball. Wrecking Ball, I was like, holy fuck. Like, this is a banger. I used to just put it on in my car alone, just crank it. I didn't care who was care who was listening. That's why I was alone. But I would crank that shit. I love that song. I love so much of the other stuff that she's done since. And
it's a gut-wrenching song.
Oh, like, I know.
Oh.
I know. But when you talk about it being rock and roll, like Wrecking Ball sort of has that a little bit, you know?
It does.
It's got that big heavy kind of driving chorus. So hey, man, if we get a couple more Wrecking Balls on this album, or maybe even, you know,
honestly,
something that wrecks the Wrecking Ball, this could be really good.
I think it's gonna be awesome. Like, I've heard two singles, I think. One was with, who was it? Joan Jett, I want to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, I'm sorry, I'm pulling out my thing. And then the other one was with Dua Lipa, who's another, like, pop artist and stuff like that. But it still had those, like, rock and roll vibes almost. Like, I don't know. It's kind of weird too, because I think maybe last year, if you told me Miley Cyrus is putting out a rock album, I wouldn't have been excited.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like 2 years ago. But since that Black Mirror episode where she does the rock cover of Nine Inch Nails, and she actually like put out the full cover of, what is it? I want to say like Head in a Hole.
Oh, really?
Head Like a Hole.
Really?
Yeah. So Miley has a cover of Head Like a Hole.
How did I miss this? It's absolutely incredible. How did I miss this?
I don't know.
I don't see it on Spotify. I guess I got to dig for it.
It's on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I'll dig for it. No, I haven't seen that Black Mirror episode, and I haven't heard that. I'm a massive Nine Inch Nails fan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. It's funny, right? Because we have to bring up Machine Gun Kelly. For a second.
100%.
You know, obviously putting out this rock, pop punk album, whatever, you know, it's like somebody kind of from outside of the genre, you know, coming in to do this, maybe temporarily, maybe not. And obviously,
I don't think it's temporary.
People are going to compare, you know, what Miley's doing to Machine Gun Kelly just because it just happened and it was such a splash with Machine Gun Kelly. But obviously, we know. You can't shit out a record in a couple months. So, I'm sure this has been planned.
They were working on these at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a trend that I don't mind. I know some people are rolling their eyes. No, I like the attention on rock, you know?
Yep, I do too.
Like the American Music Awards were the other night, and I didn't watch them because, to be honest, I don't give a shit about like 90% of the music on there, just being honest. And I mean, it kind of bothers me that the rock category it's called Pop Rock, and there's literally no rock bands. Like, Justin Bieber won the Pop Rock category. It's like, okay, well, I guess he's pop, but he's not rock. Why are we lumping this together? I don't understand. So, you know, but that being said, they did have Travis Barker and Machine Gun Kelly on there, right? So there was at least a little bit of a moment in the sun in the mainstream for, you know, call it the scene as you do or whatever. So, you know, I welcome this record, and I mean, she rips. She rips.
Oh, yeah. And like, I pulled up the track list real quick just because I remembered there was another feature and I couldn't remember who it was. And I remembered it was like the most rock feature on there. And Billy Idol also features on this, which would be Idol interesting.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I like Billy Idol. I like Billy Idol, man. I just, whenever anyone brings up Billy Idol or I hear the like any of his songs on the radio, which is like pretty regularly, like, guys had a lot of bangers in his time.
Oh yeah.
I always think of The Wedding Singer.
Oh, 100%. Like, just instant connection. Like,
I just picture him in the front of the plane, you know, in first class, like, fucking best. Like, what a cameo. Amazing cameo.
Oh, I so
love that.
Good.
I love that. That's great. No, this is exciting. This is number 3. I'm surprised it's not higher. This could be a number one record.
It honestly could, and I think any other week it could be, but you've also got is it like one of the most anticipated albums for probably the world? Yes, but I don't know. I've got a couple little nuggets that are ready.
All right. Give me the first of two nuggets at number 2.
So coming out of Atlanta, Georgia, we've got a band, I don't know how to pronounce their name. It's Coletta. I think it's Coletta.
Sounds right.
Sounds right. We'll run with that. But they're putting out their new album, Idealism. Do you remember MGMT?
Of course.
So this is Royal Coda, the post-hardcore band, meets MGMT.
Oh. Okay.
So they've got kind of that weird, like, ambient, upbeat, like, electronic, mixed with super noodly post-hardcore. There's also points where they kind of like in the singles, they have some hip hop elements thrown in.
Oh, okay. Like, interesting.
I don't know what's going on with this, and that's why I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be something that I listen to as a full album, and I really, really love. I've enjoyed a couple of the singles so far. I've honestly just been kind of waiting to talk about this album because the singles have been dropping over such a long period of time. But I think that this is going to be one of those like weird niche picks where like you've got your post-hardcore fans who like the Will Swan thinking.
Swancore, yes.
Yeah, Swancore thinking. And you're going to have like 10% of those who really fuck with this. And the other 90% are going to think it's an affront to God. But I think it's great. I think bands with similar vibes, if you liked those Shrezzer singles I've talked about, you'll really, really like this, I think. It's got the same kind of vibe. If you like Happy Hour, they're another great band. If you liked the new Makari EP that dropped a couple weeks ago, you'll really like this too. It's honestly like modern sensibility mixed with post-hardcore fun.
Yeah, no, very cool. No, I'm always interested in the bands coming out of you know, that scene or that genre because I think pretty much they're always a cut above. You know, the expectations are high in that world. You know, there aren't a lot of hacks. People can play, you know, people can play, people can sing, people can write. And that tends to be what you get from, you know, you bring up like Royal Coda. You know, of course, like I see, Makari on this list here. My boy Donovan Malero, Hail the Sun, you know, these are just all bands that kind of come out of that that genre, if you will, and all killing it, you know, just so good. And I love these song titles of this band, too. Like, these just paint the picture of that scene, too, so much. Like, these song titles, Raspberry Cough, Lemonade Soda, Juicy, Bloom, Sweet Nothing. They just, the Bee's Knees. They just kind of have, I don't know, for some reason, the vibe that you want.
Exactly. Like, it's almost like a post-hardcore drip, like there's swagger like that you have to have in order to be like respected in that scene too. like, no, I, and like something about all those bands too, like they're always super, super technical,
yeah,
but it's never at a cost for something else. Like you've got kind of some metal bands and stuff like that, like progressive metal and stuff like that. And they're super technical, but the cost is like decent song times and like actual interesting lyricism a lot of times. But
sure,
like these guys don't lose their modern, almost like pop sensibilities where they can actually write like catchy songs that are quick earworms and you're not spending a lot of time like appreciating the guitar. I mean, you are because it's fun, but on first listen, it's kind of like an afterthought because you're drawn in by everything else that's going on. No. I think.
No, this is great. It's a debut full length from Coletta at number two. Everyone needs to check that out. Great picks this week, Mike. And we're going to get you to the number one pick after this. And we're back.
We are.
You're still there?
I am.
Good. Good. You didn't run off and
I didn't
try to leave,
you know,
try to leave me, stick me with my own pick for number one.
I mean, I could have. It's a pretty easy pick this week.
Okay. Okay. I'm ready for it, Mike. Give it to me. Lay it on me.
All right. So coming out with their new album, Blackheart, from Westfield, Massachusetts, I think this is one of the biggest metalcore bands that has never kind of exploded like they should. It's within the ruins.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know this band pretty well because they were on Victory.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Oh.
I want to say late 2000s. Like they probably signed around 2009.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the time when Victory had, you know, started to fall off quite considerably.
Oh yeah.
And I think they probably put out at least two records on Victory. And, you know, because the Victory Machine, you know, did some things for them, they did okay. But you're right. I mean, they didn't get to Victory like a Treyu level or anything like that. But it's great to see that they survived and they're here still doing it in 2020. You know, they've probably been a band for over 15 years. So.
Oh, I think so.
Cool. Well, tell me about this record.
So it's exactly what you kind of want to expect from Within the Ruins. There's tasty riffs. There's breakdowns. It's good old-fashioned, old-school metalcore. I think if you like the kind of bands that they're similar to when they could have exploded, bands like Born of Osiris, After the Burial, kind of old-school Veil of Maya too,
yeah,
where it's really shreddy. There's breakdowns. It's fun. Modern, I think they've cleaned up their sound and modernized a little bit. And they sound a little bit more like Killswitch Engage, that kind of sound now. As I Lay Dying. Who's the other one? I don't remember. But like very similar to that new Killswitch Engage album. But I think I'm going to like this one more. I don't really know what else to talk about. There's two singles off the record that are just absolutely incredible. I love this band. This is the kind of band that, like, unfortunately, it's November. So, but anybody else where it's actually warm, you put down the windows and just blast this. Like, it's going to be an absolutely fun record.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I'm looking here at their discography, and yeah, it looks like the first album came out in 2006, Driven by Fear, and then yeah, it looks like then I think I'm right that they put out two records on Victory. Yeah, but it's funny. I mean, even looking at the album cover of their 2009 release Creature, it's so it's the most 2009 album cover I've ever seen. Like it's got some like bright colors on it and like there's some kind of creature, like sort of cartoony. It's not like they didn't go full cartoony on the cover, but like a little bit.
And it's almost like Hot Topic t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Like that was the time when every shirt was like bright and fluorescent. I hated it. I was like, we're going to look back on this. Like this is going to be the same way that people in the 90s look back on hair metal, like with these t-shirt designs. They're horrible. They've put out, it looks like they put out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 albums. This might be their sixth album. And it's just cool to see. Like, I'm always a big champion of any bands that, you know, started out in the Victory Records machine and managed to get through that.
Yeah.
And continue on and have, you know, have a great career. And congratulations to Within the Ruins for a new record and for getting number one on our list. Not an easy feat.
Definitely not.
Not an easy
especially feat. Weeks like this where there's a lot of potential bangers.
Yeah, there is actually quite a lot of music, surprisingly, for this week. I feel like this is, you know, when the music industry sort of shuts down and nobody really wants to put out an album. Of course, the lead up work is the most of it.
Yeah.
But I do feel like this would tend to be a slower week. And I guess not. I said that earlier that it was a slower week, but I think I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I think it is actually a pretty big week.
And honestly, I think with the pandemic and everything, normally December is pretty slow too. This year, it is not slow, at least for the first 2 weeks. I think we're going to have at least 2 weeks worth of episodes left where we actually talk about new music this year. And I think there's some late game contenders for Album of the Year coming through in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. I mean, I always feel like, and we should talk about Album of the Year. I'm not sure. We haven't discussed yet what our plans are going to be.
We haven't.
We have to make, obviously we have to have a big extravaganza.
100%.
You know, for our picks, and probably do a couple different things, because this is obviously going to be big. And also, you know, there's something to be said for, and this is why we do the show, for, you know, informing people about, okay, this is coming out. These are the records that we are projecting to be the important ones or the good ones this week. But they don't always either, they're not as good as we thought, or other ones are better that we maybe didn't even make our list that fell under the radar a little bit.
Yep.
But it's also about the staying power. And I'm constantly a little bit bummed that sometimes, and it happens with like the Oscars too, where something early in the cycle will get overlooked a little bit just because it's not as fresh and new and doesn't have that excitement. So I think that you understand that, and we're going to have a really great time with that. And we'll let y'all know what we're doing.
And for the people who don't know, like, I actually keep track of my Album of the Year. All of these lists that I put out every week, they all get transported into my master spreadsheet where this all started, where I started keeping track of it. And
all right,
I go through and I actually like rate every album out of 10 categories every year. And it comes up to like every 10 categories out of 10, it goes up to a total score of 100. And that's how I like actually rank my albums. And it is an intense spreadsheet this year. We've had over 700 releases. I am absolutely terrified. Like, there are some records that I absolutely love that aren't even going to track, like, tap the top 100, most likely, just because there's been so much good music this year.
Wow. Wow. But maybe we'll have a lot of honorable mentions on that, but we'll also have some honorable mentions this week, I'm sure, Mike. So, What else you got, you know, down below number five?
All right. So I'm giving you another album to listen to. This one is, I know the other five on my list are normally listenables 100%. This one is another absolutely need to listen album.
Yep.
But it's a deluxe edition. There's only a few new songs on it. This band Imminence from Sweden. If you have never listened to them, they are absolutely hauntingly incredible.
Wow.
The singer is also a violin player. They're a metalcore band. They have some of the best lyricism I have ever heard in my life. Like, it is actually like full on goosebumps the entire first album listen. Literally just feels like your heart is dropping in its chest because of how heartbreaking the lyrics are and how much the music and instrumentals and everything like just blends with it. It is so well done. And now with the deluxe edition coming out is the perfect time to jump on the hype train, because I think this band is honestly on my short list of bands to absolutely blow up and start taking over our scene.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Imminence.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I've got another album I'm not super sure you should check out. Signals is putting out an album. I don't know if you know about Signals, Shane. But
Signals?
It is
Signals?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I do.
So it is the ex-vocalist from a Skylet Drive's new band.
Oh, my buddy Jag. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's his name, Jag. But so they're putting out a new album. I don't really know how I feel about it. A Skylet Drive was kind of a great band, but they really kind of fell off with the last album and started to lose their magic. I felt the same way with all these singles. So that's why it's an honorable mention. If you like a Skylet Drive a lot, and if you like Jag's vocals a lot, you'll probably really like this, but it's kind of not one of those things for me.
Well, okay. Glad it made the list.
Another favorite of mine, as always, Shane likes to talk about my Breathe Carolina flag and how he crops it out for the Twitch stream. Breathe Carolina is dropping a new single, and I am really excited for it because I love Breathe Carolina. I've always loved them, from the Screamo EDM days to the full-on EDM that they're putting out now. I think that they're absolutely great.
Yeah, that's an interesting band to talk about. I remember them just, you know, it just, I wasn't ready for it. I was old.
Oh, yeah.
I was, I guess, even though I wasn't that old, I was still jaded. But I did, the dude used to be in the band, Kyle. He was a super sweetheart. And
great dude.
I got on with him really well, but then I guess they booted him. And then after that, I was like, okay, well.
He actually left because he had a kid and wanted to focus on that.
Oh, okay. Well, then I just had the information wrong. Then never mind.
Yep.
Okay. Good to clarify. What else, Mike?
So one of these late possible album of the years coming in the next couple of weeks, Youngblood is dropping a new single, which is awesome. I love him. I don't think he's anything like, it's weird, right? Because he's alternative and he's like straight up alternative. And I want to say, like, he's not really doing anything unique, but he really is doing a lot of things unique. Like, he's got songs that just kind of fit on the radio, I guess. And then he's got crazy songs, and you never really know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I mean,
always excited to hear Youngblood.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay, though, with when artists are like that, you know? I mean, yeah, you know, especially these days, I feel like you can get away with experimenting a little bit more. You know, you're dropping singles, you know, the release schedule of like, hey, here's an album. And then you're going to wait 2 years for the next one. You know, that those days in a lot of ways are dead, especially in you know, the pop world. Somebody could put out a new album and then like 3 weeks later, they could put out another single with or a collab or something. Like, there's no rules anymore, which is I think is pretty exciting overall. And I think kind of one of the beautiful things about music these days.
Oh yeah. So I think if you like Youngblood, you'll like the new single. Another interesting thing, coming out of France, Novelists are putting out their first single with their new vocalist.
Nice. Nice.
God, I forget what band he left to join Novelists, but I want to say it's Alaska with a Z.
Really? The German band?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. I guess I just need to study European metalcore a little bit better.
Yeah, now that I think about it, Alaska broke up because the vocalist left and went to Novelists.
Oh, wow.
So
that sounds dramatic.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to do another project name anyways or something like that, but this should be really good. Novelists is a lot of fun, and he's an incredible vocalist, so I don't see this going wrong.
Right.
Other new singles. There's a new single from Earthists, who is one of my favorite Asian metalcore bands. I think they're Japanese. Kind of in the same vein as like Crossfaith, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Should be pretty good. And then my last kind of single. Actually, I've got a couple more. Now I'm looking at my list. Jeez, I put on a lot of honorable mentions on here. Vaines, he's an emo rapper. V-A-I-N-E-S. But he actually like plays nudely guitar underneath his emo rapping, and it's really interesting to have.
Okay.
I think that's a lot of fun. And my last little block, I think we're going to start getting these, is I have to talk about holiday songs.
Well, tis the season.
I think we're getting some expected and some unexpected holiday songs this year. Right now, this week, though, the ones that I know about, Senses Fail is doing a thing where it's what did they explain? They said, we're covering all the horrible Christmas songs that nobody else wants to cover. So like, I forget what songs they're covering, but they're releasing like a short little EP doing this, which is interesting. We're getting I forget what song it is. I don't know if it's original or not, from Lights, doing a Holly song as well.
Nice.
Absolutely phenomenal vocalist. All of her music is fun. And then probably the craziest thing, because this is a new original holiday song that we're getting from 303. So I have no idea how this is going to go.
Oh boy. I don't have much to say. We'll just wait for that one to come out and we can talk about it.
Oh yeah. And God, let me look at it, cuz I got to find the name, cuz the name was absolutely hilarious too. Like,
well,
it was
looking for that. I'm surprised there's a couple of records coming out this week. I'm surprised we're not on the list.
Yeah.
The new record from Hatebreed.
Oh yeah, that is coming out too.
That I believe that was supposed to come out like back in March, and mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but I remember it, you know, people talking
it's gotten
about it
delayed.
A March release, and I guess cuz of the pandemic they, you know, probably said, okay, well, we'll wait till we can go back on tour and support it. And now,
mm-hmm.
what, you know, it's at the point
now
where
it's
like,
kind of like, fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck it. But that shouldn't take away from the album at all. Honestly,
yeah, no.
Hatebreed are, you know, East Coast hardcore legends.
Oh, yeah.
You know, have gone into the mainstream with a more metal sound, but I still count on them to like rip my head off, you know, when I want to have a band rip my head off. So, I love Hatebreed. I'm absolutely shocked they didn't make the top five.
I mean, yeah, I am too. That's, get rid of Palm Reader. We're talking about Hatebreed now.
Okay. Well, this Palm Reader record is exciting. Let's not take anything away.
Yeah,
from
there's
that.
There's a lot of exciting music.
But the other thing that you didn't touch on is mm-hmm. the new record from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah. See, I'm not a fan of this because they've
well.
So. They're releasing like a double length album and they've put out singles in pairs of two, and there's already like 12 of the like 28 songs out.
Okay.
So wow. It's like you've released an album worth of singles. None of them sound that good. They're turning into like kind of a synthwave band. I'm generally not excited for it. It's interesting to see like bands who used to be rock and cool kind of go down this. I mean, kudos to them for modernizing as well, but I don't know, it's also just weird. Like, have you heard any of these singles?
No, I haven't at all. There's been a lot released. Yeah, it looks like they've, mm-hmm. they've released 10 singles, is that right? Yeah, 10
yeah.
singles. I haven't heard them, and I'll be honest, I haven't particularly enjoyed their albums since, oh boy, I mean, it's been a while. You know, and I usually put them on when they come out. Looks like some of them mm-hmm. aren't even on Spotify. Like I remember when they put out that Zeitgeist record, that was not a very good album. I don't even see it here.
Speaking of Smashing Pumpkins though, they're signed to Sumerian now.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is just weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I mean, they must have gotten a pretty big payday from them, but that is
I
weird.
Hope so.
But it's been a strange band, you know, like only original member left mm-hmm. as far as I know, unless any of them have come back, is Billy Corgan. And
yep.
there was this really weird thing. I remember I was couldn't sleep one night on tour, turned on the TV, and they had, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to have these Guitar Center sponsored like
yeah.
live shows where they would do, they'd have like the band playing. It was like they were literally playing like in a Guitar Center.
Yeah, I remember these.
And then they would cut to interviews like between the songs, and it would cut back and forth. And they did a pretty good job. Like it was pretty well recorded and well produced mm-hmm. and everything. And I saw, and they did a Smashing Pumpkins one where they played like the classics, you know?
Yeah.
But the band, it was Billy, and then it was all these kids that were like literally mm-hmm. 20 or younger.
That's how like Boston is now too.
And
like,
and I, yeah, it's just, it was real. I just felt it was like kind of strange. They like that he got like a bunch of younger, like super fans
yeah.
to or maybe there it was even before their time. Like they were to play in the band. I found that a bit strange. And I this was a long time ago, so I don't know who's in the band now or what's going on. But but yeah, I just was surprised, you know, just rock legends, Smashing Pumpkins, we need to at least talk about it, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, thanks for bringing it up. And like with the whole Hatebreed thing too, like I absolutely love Hatebreed. This is no knock on Hatebreed by me not putting them in the top five. I'm human and some things do miss me. Like,
sure, of course. And there's a lot of stuff coming out this week too. Like just scrolling through on you know, some of these websites that never do a great job of putting all the records out, because, you know, Mike's the man, like, scouring the world for, you know, finding these bands that have 6,000 monthly listeners. So they don't do as good a job, but I do sometimes check them out and be like, oh, cause you know, sometimes things either fall through the cracks or like there's
or like
something super mainstream that we like, don't really, you know, bring up,
talk about or listen to. Yeah. Like, I don't really listen to a lot of, like, I know One Republic put out an album this year. We didn't talk about it. Like,
yeah, they're a good band too. Talented,
they are.
Very talented. Well, looks like we did the thing.
I think
lots,
we did.
Lots of music for people to listen to. If maybe you don't get along with your extended family, just find a room, go to your car, or put on your headphones, whatever. And
tired of your parents talking in the car? Throw on the new Hatebreed album.
Exactly. Well, let's do a quick recap, because it was a long time ago we talked about the top five. Yes. Let's start with number five.
Number five, we've got the new album Sleepless from Palm Reader.
Number four.
Number four, we've got the new album Impulse Voices from Pliny.
Number three.
Number three, we've got the new album Plastic Hearts by Miley Cyrus.
Number two.
We've got the album Idealism by Coletta.
And the number one album of the week is
Black Heart by Within the Ruins.
Within the Ruins at number one. Yes. And if you want to take a bit of a wild ride, that Smashing Pumpkins record might give it to you.
Yeah, it's going to be super long and super boring, and I'm not going to listen to it. But if you want to, have fun.
Well, we shall see. Mike, happy Thanksgiving. All the best to you and your family, and stay safe, and we will talk
always
next week.
Yes, we will. See ya. All this new shit, got a new whip. Got some new ice, that's some new drip. Got rid of my old trash, got a new bitch. All this new shit, yeah. All this new shit, yeah. All this new